Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 11:46 here on KMBZ. Now that we are a little more than 2 weeks into the official stay-at-home order for Kansas City, some more information's been coming out. We've also been getting a little bit of demographic information about who coronavirus is affecting. We want to get into all that with Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas, who joins us on the line yet again. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us, Mayor.
Always good to be with you guys. Happy to talk again.
Let's start first with the graphic that came out from the Kansas City, Missouri Health Department this week. It's Casey Mo Health, DEPT on Twitter, that indicates by, they initially did it by zip code and then separated it out by city, or they didn't have it by zip code, but they did it by city council district. This was as of a couple of days ago, the number of COVID-19 cases. And the important thing to note about this, they had switched a couple of the districts, if you were looking at this image, but it shows District 3 has 55 cases of COVID-19 compared to other districts in the city that range from 34-ish. So 55 is significantly more. That is your home district. That's where you came from. And I don't know exactly what the demographics are. I'm sure you do too. But tell us about that district and what that says to you about the COVID-19 cases.
Well, the district's about between 70% black. It is our poorest district when you look at a number of our crime statistics, hypertension, diabetes, death rates. It tends to be one that always has significant concerns, and it is both distressing but also perhaps not entirely surprising that we see it again in this crisis.
So what we've been hearing about federally, and I should point out to our listeners that it's not just the case here, that we're hearing from a few other states that that is also the case, that the African-American community has been affected a little more. The experts are saying it's because there are more underlying health conditions. Is that something that makes sense to you?
No, I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's kind of obvious. And this was a fear that I had from the beginning of this crisis, that you know, epidemics and how illnesses come to communities. Sure, a virus doesn't discriminate, but all of those underlying factors do end up showing us a pattern. And I think what we are seeing right now is a pattern in Kansas City, in places like Milwaukee, New Orleans, Detroit, St. Louis, New York City, where, you know, those who have underlying conditions, and frankly then, those groups that have a number of people that have those conditions are going to be disproportionately impacted. The thing that's probably most distressing, however, is that that impact is happening even at the point of infection, not just deaths. You might expect to have more fatalities in an area where there are those different underlying condition issues. But infections, as we've all been told, can be something that are found in any number of us, healthy or not. And I think that is disappointing to see that there's perhaps some level of community outbreak above and beyond what we thought existed before.
Is there any way to combat that in a particular area of the city? I mean, you don't know where people are going, but we do know who tends to drive to their job more and that kind of thing. And you, I think, have a pretty good handle on what people in that district are doing. Is there any way to combat that? Can we do more testing, aim it at that area more? Is there anything we can do?
There are a few different things we can do. One, we need to release more data. I mean, I'm actually one who does believe, and I know the health professionals will say we shouldn't for any number of reasons. I think they're wrong. I think in this situation what we need to do is share as much data for transparency's sake as we possibly can. And an added benefit of that is that leads to a level of seriousness within certain communities. Some of this will relate to the fact that there are communities in our country, and I say this as a guy who grew up going to the black barber shop, you know, where there are some folks that kind of say, oh, you can't trust what either the government or the media is saying. And that's not just at a black barbershop, that's in rural America, certainly in the states of Missouri and Kansas. And I think what we need to share is more data about how seriously this is impacting a number of different areas that we don't necessarily think they are. And that's what I would call for almost immediately. The next step, of course, is making sure that we accelerate testing, because there's a problem right now in every press conference, state, local, federal. We all say, call your primary care physician if you have these conditions or if you feel the need to test. What about the broad number of people in our country who don't actually have a primary care physician? Where do they go? What do they do? Well, what's happening largely right now is that they are not going anywhere until they're close to death. And that's been a problem for us, and we need to make sure we address it.
Well, Mr. Mayor,
we've got Don back here with us.
Yeah, we got a little bit of technical difficulties. And yeah, what Jamie said at the very beginning, I think at some point we're going to have to consider putting you on the payroll. Thank you very much for spending as much time as you have with us, because these are important things that we've been talking about. So let's talk about that testing. I mean, what do you think that means in terms of these next couple of weeks? If you can't count cases accurately, and if you can't count cases accurately in certain districts, how do you then gauge, first of all, whether the social distancing is working, and second of all, where you need to redouble your efforts and start getting the word out?
You know, the sad thing is, first of all, kind of to address the last point first, the best data is usually in fatalities, whether we're talking about crime statistics, public health statistics, or anything of the sort. And fatalities will typically kind of bear out what's happening. Now, we have very few in this region, thank God, but I think what you can see is not only finding where there are deaths linked to coronavirus, but what other conditions were at issue. Most of those people might have interacted with others, et cetera. So that's one way you do it. But yes, in a world where there is not enough testing, I have grave concerns. The city next week, mine is likely to announce, in connection with some of our public health facilities, more testing that's available for more people. There is a challenge with testing, though, right? Because if we said tomorrow, all right, everybody, go drive to the X or Y establishment. If you have any conditions, it might get overrun. That's why there is some screening before the testing is done. That said, I think we do need to make sure that more people who feel like they've been exposed have the opportunity to do that. The real answer to, I guess, your broader question, though, is how do we make sure that we're not having more spread because we don't have enough testing? It's why we're doing the orders we have now. The stay-at-home order idea is something that suggests to people everybody needs to act like they're perhaps walking around with coronavirus, and everybody needs to take key steps to make sure it's not being spread. That is the wear a mask. That is the not go to work physically. That's the sort of thing that we continue to, I think, suggest for everybody.
How is the city doing now, a couple of weeks into this, in sorting out what businesses are essential and which ones are not? And in terms of the cooperation from businesses, how's it going? I know the city's been pretty busy with some complaints and some businesses staying open when they probably shouldn't have been.
You know, I think the step that we're still doing is to make sure that for folks, we're trying to be informative, but maybe because we've now been at this for a little while, I'll just say this. Look, I'm the mayor of Kansas City. You may have noticed that sometimes we have crime. There is a set of people who don't follow our rules anywhere, whether that's people who shoot at each other, whether that's people who do any number of things. 100% compliance is certainly our goal, but it's not something that I don't know if it's realistic. What I'm proud of is the fact that I think we have significant numbers of people that have gotten the message. And the message is this: if you don't need to actually be at work, then don't. Everybody's valuable. I've said this before, but not everything is an essential position. And so we continue to send clarifying letters out from the health department. We'll probably ratchet up our enforcement on the police side. But I can tell you tomorrow, we can have 200 police officers driving around trying to figure out every backyard party, every person who's in a park, all that sort of stuff and shouldn't be. But we still won't be able to root it out. And that is what we've learned from our violent crime experience. It doesn't mean we don't try to pass good laws. It doesn't mean we don't try to deter misconduct. But I think the focus needs to be on how can we, in our own social groups, how can we actually share that message of why and how we're social distancing? And I think that's going to make a difference. I'll give an example briefly. You know, I was in a park a week and a half ago and saw a bunch of teenagers playing basketball. You know, teenagers may not get it unless we're actually sharing why. And I think if we do share things like, yeah, there are people dying. These teenagers happen to be on the east side of Kansas City in a district that has more cases than anywhere else. If we say there's a threat to your mother, your grandmother, that starts to get through. Otherwise, people may still try to fly in the face of our orders and rules sometimes.
Let's talk about what happened at the state level just recently, where there had been some foot dragging about having a statewide stay-at-home order, and the state was effectively looking to you and Lida Crewson in St. Louis and saying, well, the big cities have it covered. Now that that has changed, does it change dramatically what you're doing? Is there more help coming from the state level? Does it make anything different in Kansas City and the surrounding counties?
No, and in some ways, that's kind of frustrating. I mean, look, here's the thing. I appreciate the governor issuing a version of a stay-at-home order. I think there are many who have said we had hoped that there were a few things that would not have been done in that order. For example, churches and religious institutions are exempted. In addition, almost every business in Missouri that isn't subject to an order like the one in Kansas City can continue to operate so long as they, I think, have less than 10 people or maintain social distancing. Those are things that are going to be problematic. Those are things that are going to create real issues. I mean, we're going to Easter Sunday this Sunday. Good Friday is right around the corner in a few days. We don't want to see more community spread. And I think what we need from government at all levels is some clear sign of this isn't about whether we like something or not. It has everything to do with whether there is a chance for community spread or not. It's not, I go to church. I'm a Baptist, right? So, I would love to be there with 1,500 people, but this is not the time to do it, particularly given the risk in our community. And that's the sort of message you need to get across. And I regret that the governor's order, I don't believe, does that.
I'm not going to hold you to this, okay, because we know that information changes, but new models are putting our peak for cases for both Kansas and Missouri on the same date, which currently sits at April 19th. I've heard you mention before that it's possible the stay-at-home order set to expire on the 24th would be extended into May. Does that April 19th date do anything for you in terms of predictions for where we might be in May?
You know, I do check those models often. I think, frankly, as a Missourian, you may remember, Jamie, that before it was actually like May 18th for Missouri. I think some of the bold steps we have taken have actually changed. Myself, Lida Crewson, Sam Page, the St. Louis County Executive, and Frank White in Jackson County. No, I don't think that necessarily, even if the peak date is on the 19th of April, that means that we're going to, wake up 5 days later and say, whew, thank God that's all over. Let's go back and have some huge parties. I mean, we have more, I think, work to do. We want to make sure we don't see a rapid reinfection rate. And so I still believe that it's likely we see a further extension. How long at this point, we don't know. And I think we'll continue to try to be conservative about it. What you probably won't see, at least from City Hall, is us doing what the governor of Virginia did and saying that this is running till June and declaring that in March. We're going to keep making sure we're measured as our steps go on, but I think our steps will continue.
Mayor Quint Lucas, we appreciate the updates. Always cover a lot of information that we appreciate. Stay healthy.
All right. Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks a bunch. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us again and being so generous with your time. A lot of good information coming out of City Hall, and we'll continue to keep you updated on everything that's going on in the city and in the state upcoming.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.